The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our liberator. Amen. Our journey in life is like a series or chains of many treasure hunts. We journey and to seek the precious treasure that we can find. And somehow those treasures will become who we are. Sometimes those treasures will tell the world, this is who I am. It becomes our identity. So then, what are the treasures that we think that it's so important and precious to us? And so we are searching to find those treasures. I could say that Jacob's life is an example of someone who's searching for treasure. In his life, we can identify that he has so many things that he was searching for. Unfortunately, last week we heard about him. He takes advantage of those may too close to him or very close to him, his own brother. And he will do anything in any time, in anywhere, in order for him to get what he wants. And I say that must be a way of journey and finding treasure in life. This is the paraphrase that I came across about Jacob. I could not believe the betrayal, the trickery I have worked so hard and done right by Laban all these years. It might have been easy for some, but I have had to hold my ambitious nature in check. I'm not someone known for their patience. Just ask my brother. The reason I am here, exiled from my birthright and family, is that I deceived him out of his inheritance. When on my wedding night, it was revealed that my bride was not Rachel, but her sister Leah. I felt deceived and humiliated. Not only did my heart ache at not being married to the woman I love, but I had been shown up and shamed. The trickster has been tricked. 7 years of royal service was what I had promised in return for marrying Rachel. And I kept my promise. Yes, it was tempting to just take Rachel and run away. But I loved Rachel. And I'm not the same excited, maybe self-centered youth and behaved dishonorably in the past. I have had to learn the worth and way of honor through my love. So God spoke to me and made a promise to me, and God will not break his promise, will not break faith with me. And I have made vow to God, as God honor me, so I will honor God. I will not bring shame to the household I am to build. Somehow in his journey as a youngster, he looks for treasure and do whatever he likes in order for treasure he wants to get. But in his journey, as we hear, he came across the wilderness of his life and into the desert And there he met God. And God reminded him that there is a promise. In order for that promise to come to fruition, you be the one to be honored, God. Somehow there is transformation happen. Transformation take place in Jacob's life from last week. A change of heart. He sees the opportunity to gather the treasure he wants, but he turned his life around to find the treasure, maybe to honor God and to those he loved so much. It's amazing to hear Jacob, how love can change the mindset, the attitude, the behavior. We know him. He bought the eldest brother birthright and stole his blessing. But on his way, running away, he find God. Jacob know very well the most precious treasure he looks for can only be found through God's clues. As we try to talk with the kids about how can we do treasure hunt. The gospel reading today, I looked at it and I thought, yeah, it's about treasure hunt as well. The first parables, the two parables that we hear this morning, it talks about transformation. The mustard seed and the yeast. The clue for hunting for treasure, there must be a growing and change and newness and take place in terms of seeking to find the precious treasure of life. The mustard seeds, as we know, were the smallest seeds commonly planted in Palestine fields. Sometimes it's called a garden plant, or herbs, or vegetables. But somehow it's growing from a tiny seeds of mustard seed to a lot of larger bushes to make space for birds, to shelter, to live, to roost. As well as a tiny yeast hidden in a dough and grow. I wonder whether the parable is trying to say to us the transformation in life should happen and take place, as simple as a mustard seed or the yeast in a bread. The second clue that I came across is letting go the non-variable treasure. The hidden treasure in the field and finding the pearl of great value. It's giving away the unimportant stuff that making space available for more precious treasure. My question is, what is the most precious treasure that we are looking for? Is it the treasure that we look for? It's like Jacob looking to find the birthrights, to have the blessings without his brother and create this disharmony between him and his brother. How about our life today? As we can see the disharmony in our community. This week, there's about two, last week, about two women were shot up north. And there are so many come out in the news about death and killing and disharmony. Somehow in our journey, as we look for the precious treasure in life, we cannot see and find those around us. We only find ourselves and what we need. Is there any way that we can find treasure? The treasure that we may share with one another, with the joy and peace and love. Today we're going to share the bread and wine. And to me, that's a reminder of the treasure that God has given to the world that bring peace, justice, and love to everyone, regardless of who we are, where we come from, what is our stance theologically, whether we have faith or not. It's open to everyone to come and partake on God's table. To know that we are worth, we are open to share on this table. I came across this story, and I think that you've heard this story so many times, but I would like to share with us. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection, from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire the great works of art. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous and died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply for his son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large packet in his hands and said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I am the soldier whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart and died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art." The young man held out his package. "I know this isn't much. I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this." The young man held out the package. The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son, painted by the young man. He started in awe in the way the soldiers had captured the personality of his son in the painting. The father was drawn to the eyes, that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. "Oh, no, sir. I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift." The father hung the portrait over his mantle. Every time visitors came to his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he showed them any of the other great works he had collected. The man died a few months later. There was to be a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered excited over seeing the great paintings and having them an opportunity to purchase one for their collection. On the platform sat the painting of the sun. The auctioner bounded his gavel. "We will start the bidding with this picture of the sun. Who will bid for this picture?" There was a silence. The voice in the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous painting. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted. "Will someone bid for the paintings? Who will start the bidding? $100, $200? Another voice shouted angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Gogh or Rembrandt. Get on with the real bits." But still the auctioneer continued, the sun, who takes the sun?" Finally, the voice came from the very back of the room. It was the longtime gardener of the man and his son, I'll give a $10 for the painting. Being a poor man, it was all he could afford. We have $10, who will bid $20? Give it to him for $10. Let's see the masters. $10 is the bid. Won't someone bid $20? The crowd was becoming angry. They didn't want the picture of the sun. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collections. The oxen abounded the gable. Going once, twice, sold for $10. A man sitting second row shouted, "Now let's get on with the collection." The oxen laid down his gable. "I'm sorry," the oxen. "What about the paintings?" "I'm sorry. When I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a sacred stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until this time. Only the painting of the sun would be auctioned. Whoever bought the painting would inherit the entire estates, including the paintings. The man who took the sun gets everything." Our journey is life. In life, it's a series of treasures hunt. What we look for and what we want, it's different from what we need in life. And all those ways that we may have to share may go out the door if we look for one thing and disregard those around us. The mustard seed grows to be a plant. The yeast change and grow within the bread. God's love in us may transform us to seek for treasures that last. As we come to share the communion, let us be mindful of those who may need our care and love in order for them to have a glimpse of God's treasure, that everlasting. Would we be able to share that? God's treasure that we choose to carry not only for ourselves, for one another, and for the world. Amen.